If I was a therapist, every time somebody said something to me, I would go, that just happened.
If I were a therapist, every time someone said something, I would go, I'm going to need another coffee.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And then I would have to say, and just so you know, it's valid that I need that.
I'm going to need another coffee, but it's only because I'm tired of hearing your shit.
Oh my god, I'm so fucking bored. I'm so bored. Your energy is draining. You keep asking, am I enough? No! You're not! This is ridiculous. No wonder people don't want to text you back. I don't even want to be here, and I wouldn't be here if I was not getting paid.
Look, first of all, you're human. You're a human being. You're a really fucking annoying and stupid human being.
You're not the kind of human being I'd hang out with. Certainly not someone I'd have a beer with.
First of all, you're a human being, which is setting a low bar.
First of all, you're a human being, which I usually, in my practice, I usually take care of dogs, cats, and lizards. So this is really unusual for me, and I can't say I'm really vibing with what you're bringing to the table. I prefer more meows and barks.
First of all, remind yourself, you are a lizard. That's usually what I say to my lizard clients.
Does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, it works.
Can I tell you something really cool I did over the weekend?
Yeah, sure.
First of all, everyone, welcome to the Big Tent. Before we get into announcements, I want to say this thing. I met someone at a party, and I didn't know him very well, and I don't know that there was any reason to dislike him, but I didn't immediately. There was just something about him. So I said, I asked him, hey, what's your fursona? And you know how most people kind of go along with jokes? He goes, oh, I don't have one. And I said, really? You just like have such strong furry energy to me. And he got very angry and was like, I don't know where you're getting that from. I'm not a furry. And then the more defensive he got, the easier it was to be like, I'm sorry, it's really clear I hit a nerve. If you're in that community, I have a lot of respect for that. And it got to a point where his girlfriend had to come in the conversation and be like, you know, Gabby, this is a really good bit. This is a really good bit. Ha ha. But yeah, he's not a furry.
I like it. Yeah, it's like once you cross the threshold in that conversation into you've offended them already, you might as well just double down on it.
Well, the more angry he got, the more it seemed like he was actually a furry. And he had like a really big beard too, so it kind of seemed like he was one.
It's like, bro, just think of a fucking animal.
It's really not that hard to just go along with something that's a community, even if it's a community you're not a part of. People ask me all the time, what's your alter ego race? And I always answer.
And that's awesome.
Thanks, Leo.
Do you want to what is your alter ego race?
It changes every day.
Oh.
Yeah. What's yours? Wait, first, what's your fursona?
Lizard.
Yeah.
Does that count? They don't have fur.
Well, there's furries and then there's scalies. So they actually are different.
So it's not
sort of like the alter ego race of the furry community.
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's, I don't think you, there's any reason to have an ego about it.
Are you, whoa, okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't
just
trying.
Just be who you are.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. And if you're a Big Tent listener, obviously we encourage everyone to be exactly who you are, whether that's a race or an animal or a scale.
I encourage everyone who listens to this podcast, just for once, try being a race.
Yeah.
Just try it.
It's a big ask, and it's not easy, but you'll find it's quite rewarding, because what race you're in sometimes determines a lot about the course of your life, such as whether you enjoy family or eating food.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do, just give yourself a name. Have a name and just see how, try it out.
Yeah.
My name is blank.
Yeah, and don't be defensive about it if someone asks you your name. They're not suggesting that you're like the kind of person who would do that. They're just saying, like, if you had a name, what would it be?
Right. Just have fun with it. Yeah. Lean into it for once.
Life is fun.
Give yourself a last name, too. You have...
Oh, that's crazy.
You really have up to three, in my opinion. That's what I do for my mental health.
What?
What if I had a name? And everybody called me that.
Anything to cope in this scary times we live in.
Thank you for saying that, Gabby.
Do you have any announcements?
Yeah, just quickly. It's a little bit sad, but I think it's a good thing. Ultimately, is that I think a lot of you have heard this is going to be my last episode on here as the Big Tent co-host. And the reason is I'm now fully committing my life to short form content. I've kind of read the writing on the wall, and I see that this is the future. And I just don't think people have the patience for podcasts anymore, especially this one. So I've been making, instead, I've started a project I'm making 1 second long videos, and these are going to be videos from popular movies. So we have one coming out from The Bourne Identity. It's going to be 1 second, 2 seconds, second clips, and you can watch them for free if they're that short, even if it's from a famous movie. 1 to 2 seconds, Jason Bourne drinking a coffee, or maybe he's walking down the street. 1 to 2 seconds. This is the kind of stuff I like, and I think people are going to really enjoy it.
That's really amazing, Leo, and as sad as it is to lose you as co-host of this show, I'm really proud of you. This seems like a very creatively invigorating journey. Not a lot of people know about The Bourne Identity, and frankly, it's way too long for anyone to watch, so... giving it to them in 1 second doses is going to be really educational, I think.
Because I'm thinking, what did people love right now? They love three things. They love, they love two things. They love short videos, and they love free movies. And why not The Bourne Identity? Why not short and for free? Of him and everything that he does, that and it's all so wonderful. So, watch this space.
Okay.
And I'm so excited. I'm excited to be kind of on the cutting edge of things instead of in the past.
Yeah, I'm really proud of you again. And I'm gonna have a hard time hosting this show on my own. Luckily, I do think our profile will be raised soon, because I also have an announcement, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
So as some of you know, I'm not just a comedian, I'm an artist. And I'm doing a huge immersive art installation. And it's going to involve a lot of people. I would say about, you know, anywhere from 2 to 6 people at a time. And the thing about this exhibit is it happens every night and all around the world, like all around the country. So it's not just in one space. But the way I do it is, so we all like to eat food, like everyone gets hungry, but sometimes we don't know what time in the day to eat. Like, do we eat in the morning? Do we eat in the afternoon? Do we eat at night? And I'm sort of revolutionizing this idea, like, if we chewed our food in front of each other in a communal setting, it would just build this very deep intimacy amongst families or friends. So it's really this kind of big experimental space where people across the table, instead of eating on their own, they eat together, and this happens in the evening. I think it's really amazing. I think it's a really scalable idea, and it's never been done. So I'm really looking forward to that.
It reminds me kind of like, you know, the like. It's like there's something like this week. It's like coming
up. It's really not like anything you know about. Like, you could try and guess what you think it is, but
I was thinking maybe like Thanksgiving. Holiday. Maybe just a generic dinner party.
It's not dinner. It's definitely not dinner.
Breakfast.
It's
what time of day is this happening?
It's happening at night.
Like what? Roughly what? 7 p.m. 6 p.m.
Like 7 p.m. 6 p.m. With a large or small group of people. But it's an immersive. What you're not understanding, I think, Leo, is that this is a concept. This is art, and this is craft, and this is beauty, and feeling, and it's intangible, and it's beautiful, and it's real. And it's not just dinner. It's actually a lot more than that. I encourage everyone to check it out. So please.
What it's more because of what is it more?
Well, it's just usually people eat alone some of the time. The other addition to this that you might not know is usually when you eat, you do have to bring your own fork and spoon and knife. But at this exhibit, those things will be provided for you by whoever the host of the exhibit is. So it's sort of like this: the silverware component is like shared as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really like am inspired by how you can. And your mind, use your artistic vision to kind of take something like dinner and Thanksgiving and reframe it like it doesn't exist already, and take up time on this show kind of presenting it differently. So I'm really excited.
I just want to emphasize again that...
First of all, when is this happening? Because...
Well, it can start tonight. It can start as soon as tonight, and it never has to end. It can be every night.
Do I have to bring anything?
No, that's the whole point. It will be provided for you by, a family member or a friend, unless you are the one providing it, in which case, I have a concept in my head where this will actually expand, and it'll expand outward into different cities, and different people will create the experience, meld the ingredients together into edible content and serve it on platters. So you often don't have to do very much for this, but it does happen almost every night.
Okay, well, I'll be there. I'm really hungry.
I can't wait to see you. I mean, I'm surprised that you're hungry. What with, I'm sure, short-form content is satiating your appetite, but...
Yeah, I'm just watching the scene where Jason Bourne is eating. It just looks so fucking good.
Yeah. No, I get it. That's a
and
really
maybe
good
that's kind of
script.
like an inspiration for this that you're making.
Yeah, I would say there were a lot of classical influences involved. A lot of paintings of various fruits and vegetables. Also, the show The Barefoot Contessa really inspired this. She does a lot of kind of immersive art as well, you know, garden, as well as all the chefs on the Food Network. They do, they make a lot of installations and exhibits. But yeah, thank you all for listening to our announcements. And more to come. Watch this space. Except Leo won't be here next episode.
Yeah, never again.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like ahead of the curve of technology. Like when Jason Bourne is running ahead of all the bad guys. He's running fast. For a couple seconds.
That's awesome, Leo. I'm really happy you shared that.
Gabby is kind of our cultural consultant. You have a subject you're bringing to this episode for us to look at.
Yes, well, it's sort of similar to news because I feel like we do have this responsibility as podcast hosts to share what's going on in the world. As I've said before, some people get their news just from this podcast. And recently it was revealed that Jeffrey Epstein, actually, in addition to being a famed financier in New York, former teacher, and you know, his other crimes, that he also used email frequently to communicate. And there were a lot of emails that were very damning from people you wouldn't even really expect. So we have some of those emails that we're actually going to read aloud now, if that's okay. And a trigger warning for email.
So you can just read these emails, like they just have them released publicly.
Yeah, they're just released publicly. But you know, it's Leo, you and I are like safe voices for people, so it's like more soothing to hear it from us.
Okay, wait, you send me them?
Yeah, here you go.
This is kind of crazy.
I know.
So we can just read all these. I feel like. Feel bad to, you know, this guy just kind of,
yeah,
like,
this stuff's pretty private.
You can just see all his business.
Yeah.
Damn, so we're just kind of like, people are just kind of like in these emails.
Yeah, I have one here that I can start with. It's actually from one of his associates, Ghislaine Maxwell. Some call her Ghislaine Maxwell. Mm-hmm. She worked very closely with him, and I have some people have already read her emails to him, but I actually have the first email she ever wrote him in front of me. Mm-hmm. Dear Epstein, I hope this finds you well. My name is Ghislaine Maxwell, or some people call me Ghislaine Maxwell. And I'm here to apply to your organization for the role of pedophile. Now, some people would like to get into your organization just for the thrill of being a pedophile. And yes, I could include myself in that camp as well. But for me, it's more than that. You see, I am also a woman, have been one from the time I was born. And as Margaret Thatcher once said, there's not always women in male-dominated fields. And you have to work extra hard to get in there. Because there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women, but I think there's an even more special place for men who don't help women grow and advance in their careers. Today, over 90% of the pedophile industry is dominated by men. I'd like to change that. And I think it's time you hired me. I would run this shit like the Marines, another male-dominated industry. So consider hiring me for your organization. I'll talk to you soon, I hope. Thanks, Ghislaine. P.S. Have you ever been to In-N-Out Burger? It's in California. Some people compare it to Shake Shack. I personally think they're very different genres of burger. While In-N-Out is more of a delightful snack, and heck, you can even have two In-N-Out burgers in one sitting, Shake Shack is a big, hearty meal, sometimes too hearty for a petite queen like myself. Thanks, Jeff. Wow, this is really hard to read.
It's hard. I mean, I feel conflicted because it's kind of inspiring for some reason.
It's really powerful. I mean, the Margaret Thatcher mention, I mean, I can't believe she was even aware of this before she died.
I know. That gave me chills.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That gave me chilies.
I mean, Margaret Thatcher, everyone involved in this email is just an incredibly inspiring feminist figure.
Yeah. Do you have an email in front of you?
Sorry. I'm just, it's crazy we can just kind of read these.
I know. They're public and, you know, they're really raw and real and personal. And, I should give you an update that she got the job after sending that email.
Good for her.
I know. But she had to first connect with him on LinkedIn. She had to follow up with him on LinkedIn and be like, hey, did you get my email? And he like looked back on LinkedIn and was like, you know what? I actually am completely slammed with emails like all day long. I'm getting emails. But yours really stood out. So come by the mansion at some point. I get off school at 3. And we can connect and participate together. It's really kind of amazing.
It just shit right. If you put aside the evil,
yeah,
it is a good story about how if you stand up for yourself and you believe in yourself, you can make waves and you can get that dream job.
Yeah, I feel that way a lot about. My own work. I mean, I obviously don't do pedophilia. That's gross. But I am a storyteller and an artist.
Ew. Well, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
And that wasn't saying ew to that. I have deep, deep respect for that. And I can see how that if you just look at that sort of aspect of this email, that's actually really would be inspiring to you.
Yeah, you were saying ew to the pedophile, not like the woman being an artist.
Yeah, no, it was okay, totally okay. The pedophile thing. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like good. Literally, like ew.
No, it's gross. It's bad. I don't like what happened.
Are you on? I'm on the one where you can. It's like a fake Gmail, and you can just type in things and search through all of them.
Oh, you know, yeah, yeah, the database.
Yeah, it's just like. It's scary if you type in someone's name, you're just kind of praying they're not going to be in there, you know? Oh, Jesus Christ, Gabby.
Oh, no.
This one's from fucking RuPaul.
Are you joking?
No. Jesus Christ. I'm reading it now.
What does it say?
It says, Dear Jeff, can I use your Netflix? It is 2018, and you can see... It is 2018 and you can still share passwords for Netflix. I need to watch my favorite show, Animal Hatred, RuPaul.
Whoa. Oh, man. Did he let him use it?
The reply is redacted. I think it might be his password.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can't know that. That'd
be fucked up. But anyway, that's awful that RuPaul would just kind of turn on gay like that to email this evil man.
It's hard not to turn on gay. You know, gay has kind of been in and then it's been out. But Netflix is forever. And so I understand it from that perspective. But yeah, obviously, it's never easy to see something like that. So if you do need help, you can call the hotline. I have another email here, Leo, that's from, well, I won't tell you who it's from. I'll just read the email and then okay. I'll tell you who it's from. Okay.
Okay.
So it's like a note actually with like a drawing, and, it starts with the words voiceover, and it says, mm-hmm. there must be more to life than having everything. Yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is. Nor will I, since I already know what it is. We have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Yes, we do, come to think of it. Enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? As a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. A pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret. And that email is from Elmo. Sorry, I know.
What do you mean by that?
I think they're talking about like birthdays and sort of the idea of celebration. You know, Elmo doesn't get out a lot, so it's nice for him to have a friend, regardless of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Elmo's like a friend to all, but I don't know that anyone is like truly there for Elmo back in that way. So,
also, I don't think we should be really critiquing the syntax of his email, because Elmo is neurodivergent
and queer,
and it is kind of I don't think he meant any harm by anything he was saying in that. I think he just communicates differently.
Yeah, not everyone's, you know, cookie cutter, 9-to-5 kind of person. Like, some people have, some people are neuro-spicy. So that's how they talk.
So I think it's unfortunate. I think we can forgive Elmo for this one.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, here's another one. Dearest Jeffrey, as the London fog creeps over the River Thames and the young working men emerge from their flats out to greet the morning, I think about us and our cherished friendship and the wonderful times that we have shared. Truly, it is a strange, wondrous world we live in. Sincerely, Charles Dickens.
What? Charles Dickens? That guy was born in, like, 1802.
This is fucking sickening.
I think it's really cool. Sorry, I think it's, like, the one really cool thing we've read. So, this has all been so heart-wrenching, you know? And I mean, sorry, I can tell you're having a reaction to this.
His prose is gorgeous, even his email. He really just understands the plight of the working man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get, though, how it could be, like, upsetting.
Well, especially when you see how international this thing Jeffrey had going on was.
Yeah. It's
through the globe, and I guess through time, too.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, you know, he's sort of like an artist. Because he has a lot of reach, just like art does. Not to condone anything he did, obviously, again, I mean, I don't like it, and I'm not okay with it. But, he was out there. You know, he was networking.
Yeah.
Oh God, I just looked in the database, and oh fuck. This one's from Leo Frampton.
Leo, oh shit.
Leo, that's you.
That's my name.
No, but like it's actually
no. That no, doesn't make any sense.
It's your Gmail. It's the Gmail I use to email you hello in the morning.
All right, well, how about this? Well, read it. What does it say?
Jeffrey, I'm locked outside your house. I need more than anything to get in there and see the girls. They miss me. They're my only hope for a good life. You see, I'm not a normal guy. I have something called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That's when it's really hard for you to pay attention at school. Think it's easy? It's the hardest thing anyone has ever been through. And I have it. And only seeing the girls you have locked away in your mansion can help me feel better about my condition. But it's not just that. I am also polyamorous. Now, I know you are more polysexual than amorous, but I think in that way we connect due to being non-monogamous. Jeffrey, I know that we had a fight over unrelated finance decisions, but I need to get inside ASAP for the purposes of my sexual deviancy. Love, Leo? Leo, that's you. Leo, you wrote that.
That doesn't sound like me. See, like, I have, when I say I have ADHD, I'm being ironic. So I think that's probably a different guy.
Oh.
Because I always mean it ironically when I say it. I'm known for my diligent focus on things.
Yeah, that's really true about you, but I can't get over the sentence, I need to see the girls, they miss me. Because that kind of does sound like something you often say.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would think that.
Yeah, I would.
You would go there if you read that sentence.
Yeah, I mean,
think about this. My parents have two cats. They're both girls. That's what I'm talking about.
No, you're right. I'm sorry.
I need to see the girls. Where are the girls? I need to see the girls.
And I didn't think about the fact that
they're both girls.
As a man, having female cats is the number one indicator that you would never commit a crime against a woman.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
The other time I say I need to see the girls, I'm talking about all the great authors who were going on book tours.
Yeah.
Last time I said it was about the Kamala Harris book tour.
You love singing that one song at karaoke, This One's for the Girls.
Yes. That's my favorite song.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
So don't worry, don't worry about that email.
Okay. Got it. Sorry. That was, you know, it's just sometimes you find your friend in here and it's hard to think about it the same way ever again. But I'll try, you know, because, you know, something I have to do if we're going to continue to work together in any professional capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just
like you know what they say, always turn a blind eye to abuse.
That's so true. And if there's one takeaway from this episode. Oh, this is an interesting one here. Jeff, I'm so sick of all the bad news in our media system. Wish we could just go out and get a beer and make it all go away. Sometimes I just want to kill all these motherfuckers. The Raiders play next week. I'm just going to pray the game goes their way and jack off 5 times before it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Huh.
Oh, she's so cool.
Yeah.
She's just one of the guys.
That's crazy. I mean, she was really smart.
Yeah. And he knew that. It's really remarkable to see an email like that. And it kind of gives you, I kind of want to end on that one because it gives me more of a sense of hope. Whereas before I think I was really struggling. Considering, you know, your inclusion in the files. Well, you might not be in the files. You're just in the emails.
Well, and if you are in the emails, I mean, you get to be amongst heroes like Elmo and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah,
I actually don't know if RuPaul. I don't know if it's such a bad thing, really, if you think about it.
Not
that I'm in them. That was some other fucking mentally ill moron.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I guess it wouldn't be such bad company.
Opposed to being a regular guy like me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're fairly normal.
Yeah, I like to say it's not that I'm polyamorous, it's that I'm polyglamorous.
Oh, it was a typo.
Well, no, not that email. That's just what I like to say. That's unrelated.
I'm monoglamorous.
And that's I'm glamorous fine too.
Only one time.
That's fine too. It doesn't, you can say that if you want. I'm annoyed about that fucking email. That's not me.
I didn't intend to, Leo, if...
You know how many people are named Leo Frampton?
One.
Too many.
One. I know one. And it's you. But look, I'm sure even if you look for me in there, I'm sure I'm in there. Everyone was emailing him at the time. The culture, it was a very, very different culture, you know.
Let me see. Dear Jeffrey, in 6 years from now, I will start the most amazing podcast ever, where there will be a very special episode where you are dead and we read all the emails. If you were alive, which you won't be then, you would find this hilarious, as you would still be one of the few people still sticking up for long-form content in this stupid world of brain rot and artificial intelligence. This will be shortly before I complete my mission of evil, which will be inflicted upon the Barnes & Noble franchise. Everybody within Barnes & Noble, in December 2025, should, if they're a real one, not be in Barnes & Noble. Sincerely, Gabby Brown. That's really interesting. So you did email him.
Okay, but there's so many Gabby Browns.
Well, you've been talking to me a lot about Barnes & Noble recently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should be there.
Why not?
Just, it's not worth your time. You already have a lot of books, and, if
okay,
anything...
Okay, so if you're gonna blow up every Barnes & Noble, why are you telling people they shouldn't be there? Don't you want to blow them up? I'm just saying, be consistent with this evil plot.
It's just not everyone. Like, no, I don't want you in there. I didn't want Jeffrey in there. I knew he was already gonna be dead, but if there was an off chance he survived, I just didn't want him to die in that way. So, you know,
that is fair. You do have a very strong sense of empathy when it comes to this kind of thing.
I'm an empath. I am. And there's a few people who I would really like to spare, including my audience. I know this podcast has a huge audience, so I guess whoever's not gonna find out about the Barnes & Noble thing is just, you know, it's a small select group, and I'm sorry it had to happen that way. I guess I would have liked there to be more people, but you know what? Maybe my sense of empathy is taking over.
I know, that's really hard.
Thank you. I did find one more email, actually, that I think is worth our time. And it's also British accented. You can do that in emails. You can create accents. It says, "What are you fucking triggered? No one can take a fucking joke anymore. You don't even understand comedy." That's from Ricky Gervais, but it's not really clear what it's about. I think maybe they got a feud. He didn't vibe with his special. It's unclear.
I mean, it's the cries of pain of an artist.
Yeah.
The kind of thing that I mean, that's what's so chilling about some of these emails is how relatable some of it is, you know? It's Ricky was really struggling with how hard it is, and I think he was just kind of going to the wrong guy with that.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of, have we learned any lessons from this, you think?
That's really
from this episode, or
I
from
think it's
from these emails,
I think
or...
it's so powerful, by the way, to end with that really amazing Ricky Gervais email. Everything else,
I think it's the one that feels truest to our message. I mean, we are always telling everyone how triggered and liberal they are, so it makes a lot of sense.
He's really it's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
And that is a lesson I learned from today. It's lonely at the top of anything, top of a building or the top of the top of a cake if you're like a if you're a little figure that on the top of a wedding cake, it's not lonely usually because there's another little person. So I guess maybe I exclude that from that phrase. If you're a little wedding guy or a little wedding girl on the cake, it's not lonely at the top. You've got your loved one there.
Well, that's because it's kind of a physical top and not a metaphorical top. Like, it's not lonely at the top of a wedding cake, but it is lonely being a Fortune 500 CEO.
Oh. What are the other 500 doing?
Good question. You know what? That's what I've learned. We're all so lonely. We should be networking. If you're a Fortune 500 CEO, talk to the other 499 of you. Why compete? And you know what? Maybe you don't even have to do it alone. Like, you could go to a place with 2 to 6 other people and enjoy a plate of food together in an immersive artistic experience never before seen in the history of the world. And maybe that will help connect you and help you grow.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I think so. I guess I also learned that women are... That women are rising in the pedophile world, which I didn't know before.
I learned that too.
Yeah.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, big tent. Unrelated to any kind of art. Check out Gabby's thing and then go enjoy dinner.
Yeah, everyone enjoy, and we love you and. As always, you're welcome in the big tent. Yes, even you.